Language project and the German leader of the German project. Of the German project, okay?
German project,
okay.
Yeah, member of.
Member of the German project. Okay.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
And, well, not that many people here, but I hope all of you are interested. Topic of my presentation is entering the OpenOffice.org community. And I want to give you some ideas or some of my thoughts, how the OpenOffice.org community works in theory, how the structure is, how the communication flow within the community is. I have some notes how it works in practice, and I want to talk about something that is special to me, the native lang community within OpenOffice.org. After that I'll come to short about the licenses. Why do we have all licenses? Why do we need licenses? And what licenses are we using? And after all, I hope there will be questions. Of course, if you have questions in the middle of the presentation, please ask. So it's not all really fixed. And I hope I could answer most of the things. Something about the speaker. You will see Sophie Coutier here. Also, she's not present. I need to name her because the initial idea of this presentation was brought up by Sophie, and she was going to talk more about the history of OpenOffice.org, the history of the community, how it evolved, and why some things are as they actually are. Sophie is the project lead of the Francophone project. It means she is, her roots are in the native lang community. She's community council member for the native lang confederation, and I don't know exactly since when, but she's with the project for a very long time now. She was one of the people who teach me or who taught me how this community works. I'm for myself. At the moment, project lead at the TQA project. I'm still a member of the German Phone project, of course. I've been a co-lead at the German Phone project for about 2 years, so my roots are also in the native lang category. Okay, I'm a community council member. But the most important point to me is we are members of the community. Why I name the native lang community that much here is that I think, and you will see this in the presentation, that OpenOffice.org, the OpenOffice.org community is not only a community of developers, not only a community of hackers and coders, but it is a community that is, has many end users. And I think it's a little special to OpenOffice.org because we as community need to deal with end users who are not used to coding, who are not used to know all these coding stuff, this release engineering stuff that Pavel presented. And one of our problems is how we could get to talk the end user to the developer. And what is, to give you just an impression how big, how large this project is, some numbers. In fact, we are one of the largest open source communities worldwide. Some people claim we are the largest community. Well, you could agree, you could not. Anyway, just the numbers we have. about 16,000 people at our mailing list. These are unique subscribers. This means 16,000 people read our mails, and this is even without the typical announce list. These are really lists where traffic happens. We have 3,000 posts at our mailing list per week. So this needs to be handled, this needs to be read. You need to understand this to communicate. And out of these numbers are all automated lists, it means CBS lists, issue seller lists, and so on. Are not included in that. The overall project has at the moment about 90 sub-projects and 3 categories. We have about 650 people at the moment who have signed the JTA. That means 650 people and companies who are willing or who are offering to contribute the code. And we are almost pure online community. Most of the time we are an online community, it means we need to communicate via internet, via IRC, we need to go to websites, we need to read a lot of mails. But I cannot say we are a pure online community because we are all here at the moment and seeing us face to face. Yep.
3,000 posts, does that include all the native language projects as well?
Yeah. This includes the development list or developer lists, the global user lists, and the native language project lists. In fact, if you look at the numbers, most, or I think half of the mails belongs to native language lists. So, if a user tries to enter the community, or if the user is rather new and not used to such a huge project, often the question arises, how is this structured? How does this work? So, if you look from the top level to the project, we have so-called categories. We have accepted category. Accepted means projects that are accepted, but it's a little not that well the term, because I would rather call it established project. To this category we belong at the moment 23 projects, mainly the pure development projects like build processing, spreadsheet applications, installation, but projects like marketing, documentation, QA belong to this category as well. So, and these are projects where the most development work or the main development work happens. As a second category, we have the incubator. The incubator category holds projects where we had an idea, where we think we need to deal with issues or with a special problem. We know we have people who would like to care about it, but we don't know yet how it will evolve. We aren't sure, or we are sure we could have a start, but we aren't sure if it would live for years and would evolve. We have an incubator, we have development projects as well. We have there the, I think, okay, I come later to this, what is exactly in it. At the moment there are 10 projects. And again, it's
specialty of all, I think, is the native language category. The native language category was introduced about 5 years ago, I think. Because many people felt if users try to join the community or try to be informed about open source org, it's very hard for them if they cannot communicate in their own language. You must see that at the moment only or less than 50% of all users speak English as their first language. And as a user, if you try to be informed about the product, about the project, it's essential that you are able to do this in your own language. So, and that's why the native language category and the first native language projects has been introduced. Maybe interesting about this is that we do not have an English native language project. All the English users are handled within the either accepted or incubated category. As already said, all these categories hold a number of certain projects. Accepted projects, really mainly the development projects like spreadsheet, work processor, but marketing as well. Incubator, BizDev project was introduced about 2 years ago to handle issues how to communicate with business companies or companies who like to do business with OpenOffice.org or around OpenOffice.org. We have the stats project who are providing statistics just as the mailing list numbers. And we have, as example, distribution who cares about all the neural networks, about the OEM. And we have the native lang category. What is, when counting the numbers, is actually the largest category we have. Last time I had a look, we had 58 native lang projects. And I've been told that yesterday at the native lang meeting, even more native lang projects has been announced, so we are above 60 now. A little special is the localization project, because it's something between the accepted and native lang category. It belongs, or speaking in terms of category, or looking at the website, it belongs to the accepted project. But it shares some work with the native lang community, because the first step to make OpenOffice.org available in your language is to translate, to localize. So that's why it's something between. At this point, when we are going from top down, I think it starts getting confusing to many new users, because we have categories, we have projects, and projects even can have sub-projects. Some examples, marketing has a sub-project that is named schools. OpenOffice.org at schools is handled as a sub-project within marketing. The arts project is handled as sub-project within OpenOffice.org. An incubator, I said it before, distribution takes care about mirrors, takes care about CD-ROM distribution, takes care about peer-to-peer distribution. And even each of the native lang projects can have sub-project as well. Looking at the structure, how a
project works, how sub-project works, as a difference. Each project itself has dedicated responsibilities, has dedicated representatives or project leads. So each project has one lead and one co-lead, or some projects have two co-leads who share the work. There are defined structures, and this does not, well, this is not the case for each sub-project. These sub-projects, speaking in terms of the global structure, are not that official. So each project is more or less free to establish such sub-projects. Even we in the Germanophone project don't name it sub-project. We have only contacts for special tasks who are responsible for this. But it is some mean to, well, to split the work, to handle many of our work. So I've little splattered all this community, so we have more and more detail, and somewhere there's a need to coordinate all these things, because it's quite well to have a community where all the users can talk, can decide, can provide their work, but sometimes you need to design, or there's a need to give rules. We had a very long time, some played this role very well, but this did not fit too well with the community. So the idea was put up to establish a guiding instance, where the term is a governing instance, and this is the community council. The community council has been introduced about 3 years ago and should really be a governing instance who gives advice to the community, who gives rules to the community, who talks about questions that arise in the community, but cannot or is not able to force anybody to do something. We can give advice, but we cannot force anybody. The community council is more or less a political instance, and at the just after the beginning of the community council, we had the problem that we had to deal with technical questions. In many cases, there were not the right people at the community council to deal with all this technical stuff. So the EST, the Engineering Steering Committee, has been introduced. What is an advisory board for technical questions, and we'll talk about technical questions and forward it to the community council. So the community council itself consists of 9 members. We have five members of the accepted projects, because these are the main or the central open office org projects. We have 2 representatives from the native language community, who are actually, at least one is a developer as well, I think. But the idea is to share the ideas, the global requests from native language community. We have 1 dedicated some staff member, because it's a simple fact that some is our biggest contributor, and it was agreed that Zan needs to have a voice within the council. You will see that incubator is still missing. We have no incubator representatives in the community council, but we have a dedicated community representative. That means the community representative should pick all most of the requests from the user community. This is so he speaks for more or less for the users, for contributors who are not real coders or hackers, and he speaks for the incubator and community at all as well.
One thing I think is noticed that I didn't realize before, you mentioned that most of the open source community is in the native language projects. By projects, it's 2/3. By population, it's about half. And I know that's not reflected in the structure of the community council. The assembly projects have more than half of the council.
There are 2 points that I told that about 50% of all males arise in native language lists. We have more than 50% non-English users, but this doesn't mean that most of our members belong exactly to the native language category. It's just the fact that many people or many members may start in the native language categories, in the native language projects, because it's often more easy to start with your native language, but it's one of the goals of the native language community to share the members with all projects. I'll come later to this. But it's not the idea of native language communities to do all the work to really to code or to do release engineering, to do full QA for all childhood spaces like Puppet Toad. That's not the idea of the native language community. The idea is to get users, make users to contributors, tell those contributors where can you help and to which project could you go or at which project could you contribute, so that it fits your abilities and the community's needs. So that's why we cannot divide our people between here are developers within accepted projects, here are developers in incubator projects, here are developers in native language projects, here are some stuff people. It could not work because I'm just an example. I started in the native language category. I'm still a member of the German project, but I'm project lead of the QA project as well. So, although I'm at the moment in the community council speaking for the accepted projects, it's my personal need or I speak for the native language category as well. I could not stop this speaking for my native language category. So, after all this rough structure, it's not easy to communicate between all these categories, between all these projects, sub-projects. And as said, we need, most of the cases we need to do this online. Our main means of communication are the mailing lists. Most of the communication is via mailing lists, because it's more or less easy to use, and the main point often is that those mails are archived. You can search the mailing lists after you've written something. But we use IRC network as well for ad hoc communication, to ask quick questions. We use our website, it's more static.
most of it can be sometimes fish, but you'll find at least good information on it. And some people, it's not very official, but many people, developers especially, use their own blogs. When possible, I would advise to use offline communication if it makes sense. So we can do this here at Open Office or Conference. We can do this at local conferences. I think we in Germany, in the German Reform Project, use local conferences to communicate, just to see how other people work. We meet at general open source events, and we organize more or less regular local meetings. This has pros and cons. The pros are, of course, you never can communicate as fast via mail as you can if you try to talk to each other. The problem is that if you meet someone face to face, you often speak to only a certain number of people, and this may hurt the community because the community consists of thousands. If you only communicate to tens or even hundreds, but forget that there are thousands around, this might be a problem. So, as our mailing is our main mean of communication, what mailing needs to be had? First of all, we have the global mailing lists. These are mailing lists that fit not to a certain category or to a certain project. We have, as example, the general dev development list, where development or developers can communicate about features or how to implement or how the code looks like or should look like. We have the global users list, what is still the most frequented list. We have about 300 feet of 400 to 500 mails per week at the users list, and I really appreciate those people who are maintaining this list, because new users will come first to the user list, and if they get good answers, they will join the community. If they get no answers, they will drop. We have this task list and a social list. The social list is a little funny because this is not exactly an open office org list. This is just a list for people who like to talk about anything.
Is there anything that's not open office?
Anything that's not open office, but they are people who are related to open office org. Besides this global list, we have inter-project lists. Because you cannot talk about all the things at this global list, and you cannot keep all communication focused to a single project. So we need mailing lists where people from several projects can communicate with each other. An example is the project leads list. This is a list where the project leads coordinate their own work, or how should projects work together. Or as example, the vote for new project leads happens at the project leads list. This one is red because this is a closed list. We have a very small set of closed lists that cannot be read by everybody. Most of our lists are open to everybody, are open to the community, are open to anybody who wants to read this. But we need some specialists where we could discuss intra-project needs. And that would not published. The special is the Comet Native Lang. That's mailing list where the marketing project and the Native Lang community, the community tries to coordinate marketing staff. Marketing staff that belongs to the global marketing, but would affect the local marketing as well. If you remember this slide about the sub-projects, you may have seen that Germanophone project has a marketing sub-project. So that means we do our own marketing within Germany, within Austria, Switzerland, and all the German-speaking language
countries.
Thanks. But we cannot do this apart from the global marketing. So we need to exchange knowledge, and we need to know what's going on in the global marketing project, and the global marketing project needs to know what's going on within the Germanophone project, as well as the Slovenian, Italian, or Francophone project needs to know what's going on in Germany. And this is a dedicated list to handle such requests. And as well, the Definite Native Lang, where all the issues of the Native Lang community in a whole are handled. That's, just to say again, it's not the same as the localization, it's, it has a different focus. Okay, and after all, there are, of course, project lists that are handled by each project itself. We have every project has a dev list, a development list. It's quite easy to understand if you enter the community that each project has a dev list. So the dev list is either for accepted projects, it's more or less for development projects. That's the list where development is coordinated. It means where the coding is coordinated. For other projects that are not coding projects, that's really project coordination. What's going on within the project? What do we want to do within the project? What do we need to do in the project? So if a new user, or not user, but the contributor enters the community, the first thing you need to do is to subscribe to these dev lists, because this is the list where it's communicated what is going on. And without knowing what is going on within a project, you cannot really join the community. Most of the projects have users lists as well. User lists are, yeah, just as the name says, they are dedicated to users. It means simple user requests. I have a problem with my writer, I cannot type right to left, so how do I do it? This should be asked to users list. It's quite interesting that many users don't know this. In many cases I had the problem that I've been contacted with private mails, because some people do not know that mailing lists exist, that mailing lists take care about their problems. So it's really useful to know and to communicate, hey, go through the lists and your question will be answered. And within the Germanophone project, and I think within the global user list as well, you will get, or you will receive an answer in many cases within hours, if not even within minutes. And of course, projects are more or less free to establish special mailing lists. So Germanophone project has a special mailing list for QA. We have at marketing the special mailing list for the arts project, and many, many more. it's not easy to decide in every single case if we need a new mailing list or if we should communicate via main mailing lists. Because if you take communication from the main mailing lists, you may take contributors from the main project. It's in some cases really a problem. Because people fell off the project, think I need only to take care about my special issue, but the overall process will slow down. So it's not easy to decide.
Okay, just we talked about what IRC channels we have. We have the global open office org channel as well as we have global mailing lists. There are a lot of people within this channel. In most cases, these are developers. Sometimes it is very sad to see that user requests are not well answered within this channel. So I don't know if it would be useful to establish a user's open office org channel and have people there who can answer quickly about user requests.
That's an answer we see sometimes on the so-called developer channel. Go to # users.openoffice.org.
Does this really exist? Or?
I don't know whether it's the intent to move users away or whether this channel has really been established in the meantime.
Okay.
And on the other hand, establishing a new channel is a no-brainer.
Yes,
we
can talk about the QA channel because the channel exists. There are people there. Most of the time, the channel operator and Pavel Janik. And yeah, that's it. I try to be there if I can. But the problem is, even if a channel is there, you need people to communicate, you need people who ask, you need people who answer, and at least you need to be aware that the channel exists. And it cannot simply happen. This needs work, this needs time. Well, all the other projects or all the other channels can act at requests, like the OONRC channel. This is a channel that is used for the native lang. How was it called?
Confederation.
Yeah, confederation, and this was your idea. Huh?
Well, the channel itself already was mostly unused. So I started doing something with it.
So, aha. Okay. So. Okay, the channel already exists, but wasn't used, and then was the idea by Daniel to use this channel to make regular presentations via IRC, and this worked very well for a long time. At the moment, this has slowed down.
There's still problems. I'm having a router problem. I can't use SSH. Yeah, it's a technical issue. It's a hardware problem.
Okay. I hope this could be resolved and we could establish this regular presentation. Because since it's when I joined these presentations, it's really interesting because we had every 2 weeks a presentation by somebody out of the native lang community or even out of the open office org community at all, who was talking about something that was related to open office org. We had people who have been talking how to establish a native lang project. We had people who were talking about doing documentation. We had people, you would know better who we had. We had people like me who just like to talk, what am I doing at open office org or why am I here? So it's just, I think it's really cool to get a sense what single people do in this project and that you have a broad variety awkward. Yeah. Each person has own preferences and works other, but we all build one community. Okay, the native thing projects. So let's keep let's stay with that. The idea of the native lang projects is it's a quote. Work on all aspects related to the localization and support of open office org, including localization, QA, support, documentation, marketing. You will see no coding within that, I've already said it, but you will you see most of the tasks that are around coding, so the supportive tasks for the coding. That's the idea for the native lang project. At the moment, native lang projects exist on two levels. The first level is to make OpenOffice.org available in your given language, because you cannot really establish a community if you have no product, if you have no version of the software. So first level projects are, in most cases, smaller projects, new projects who have not that much resources and who can focus really only on special tasks. If the project itself grows, the native lang projects are asked to grow the community. That means to grow the user community, so there comes the marketing in. That means to grow the contributor community, so we need to convert users to contributors. A very hard task to do this is to know what's going on within the community. I hope this would help a little. And after all, we need to grow the developer community. As said, we do not want to bring developers to the native lang community, but we do want to tell people who are willing to develop where they could contribute, what's the best project for them is. And after all, the native lang projects are your local point of contact. Although native lang projects belong not to a given country, to a single country, they belong to a language, but they have more or less a local focus. Yeah, as said, what native lang project should do or should be trying to do is sharing members. For most of the users, it's more easy to join the community if you can join the community of your own language. So many native lang projects get members from the local community, but really should share them with other projects. The first step for new native lang projects is always to work within localization, but we could give developers or members to the development projects, to marketing projects. This works quite well, for example, for the German community at the moment, to QA, of course, and we could give them to the incubator projects. Okay. Last but not least, after all this structure stuff, some words to the licenses. Because to new users or to new contributors, it is often not obvious why we need to stick with certain licenses, why all this licensing stuff is so boring but important. Most of you who are here, I think, know the principles of free software. It means that you are able to get the code, that you are allowed to change the code, that you are allowed to redistribute the code, and in many cases that you are forced to give your code changes back and contribute your code changes. But I think also these are important and these are not very well understood by end users. When talking to end users, you often see the problem that, hey, it's free as in beer, I don't need to pay, that's all I want to do. And if such a user joins the community, you will get a problem because they don't see why they should use a certain license. And the chart below this I hope it could give an idea why it's important. If you think in terms of a company, it's all very easy when coming to licenses. Because if you are employee of a company, you can code, you can write documentation, you can do everything you want or you are forced to do by your company, and the company will hold the copyright. So anything you do will be in the interest of your company. So there's no need to define the relationship between the single employees. There's only a need to define the relationship to the outside, to the end users. But if you come to the community, we all know company. Nobody signs a contract. Nobody. It's not quite correct, but in most cases, nobody signs a contract that anybody else will own the copyright. Each single person, I know, it's not totally exact. but in fact, each single person owns the copyright of their contributions. So if we had no license that guarantees that we can work together, we would be lost. We would be lost within minutes. Because we had to ask every single person who had contributed code, hey, could I use your code? Yes, you could. But sorry, there are some lines from other people. Have you asked them that I can ask it? This would be a mess. And the next thing is, our community is not fixed. We have not a fixed set of contributors. We even can accept code from outside. And this all would work if we make sure that we use licenses that are compatible to each other. We do not need to use same design, same license in each single case, but we need to use licenses that are compatible with each other. So, actually, the licenses we use are for code, the GNU lesser public license.
That's outdated, you know that. That's a little outdated. The SS is all now.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, actually. There we go. Good job.
You're right. So, I named the Sun Industry Standard Source License as well because we have used this for years. But it has been removed for the OpenOffice.org 2.0 release. The Sun Industry Standard License was introduced by Sun, as you name that. More or less the idea to spread the document file format and the API. But it has been dropped because many people, like the OSI, requested to lower the number of existing open source licenses. And its effect is that it has been attacked by community members as well, because it allowed more or less to take OpenOffice or code and to close it, to make a closed
derivative. For documentation, many people forget often that even documentation needs a license. It's in most cases it's obvious that code needs a license, but many people don't know about documentation. For documentation, we use the public documentation license, the PDL. The PDL is or has been developed by open source project members at a time where we felt that the GNU document license is a little difficult to handle. And so we introduced our own license, and all the documentation that are developed within the OpenOffice org project would be only accepted if they are under PDL, just to make sure we can share our own documentation with any project.
Would you want to share the documentation with other projects? Would that be a good idea?
What?
Sorry? Would it be a good idea to also share documentation with other projects that might be related?
Of course, we would like to share documentation with other projects. It's a question of the license, because if we want to bring in documentation with another license, we cannot be sure to just take parts from the documentation, put it into other parts of the documentation, and so merge existing documentation. So it's just a little tricky. And after all, this is the point where Daniel said, I'm not absolutely exact, saying that nobody signs a contract about copyright. The JCA, the so-called Joint Copyright Agreement. This is a paper that needs to be signed by everyone who wants to contribute code to OpenOffice.org. The JCA has two main claims. At first, you sign that you are allowed to contribute this code, that nobody other could insist or has rights on your code. And the second is that you allow or that you grant many rights, or that rights that you have because you have the own copyright, all these rights that emerge from your copyright would be granted to some as well. You give not up your, or you don't dedicate it to some, you hold your own copyright, but some itself has most of the rights or all rights that would emerge from your own copyright. The idea behind this is to handle the copyright or to handle license requests more easily. If I'm not right here, Stefan? Okay, so we are at the question section, and I hope I could get on this. Yeah.
I was unclear what the goal of the community council was. What sort of disputes was this intended to handle? Obviously not technical, but where, can you give me a more concrete example? I just couldn't quite visualize. You had a meeting. What did you meet about?
What did we meet about? I didn't read the minutes from Lewis yet. We have technical requests at the community council. There was a question about release process. How should or should we change the overall release process? Should we change the timeline of the release? Then we've been talking about clarifying licenses. For example, we had the need to use licenses for fixed documents at our website. So the community council is there to give rules
for such things. So problems that we know that need some solution should be solved by the community council. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you have problems, you are not able to find the appropriate contact in the overall community by your project lead, and some high-level things you think should be handled from an advisory board, then you are perfectly right to contact the community council.
So I'm just trying to sort of visualize. So to take an example we were talking about a few moments ago, if we were going to move to away from, say, CVS to a new version management system, and I'm just picking something arbitrarily here, would that be the type of decision the community council would review?
This would not be the decision of the community council at the first hand. You could ask the community council to take care about it. We would forward this for sure to the ESC and ask developers, I think. Or I think this should be at first discussed among developers. You could ask the council. You could ask the council. So, and we are enforced to take care about it if you ask. This would be at our agenda. We need to talk about it.
So you're the place that if a decision hasn't been made somewhere, if it lands at your doorstep, then the decision will get made or pushed to somewhere and be forced to be made somewhere. But so you're something that makes decisions happen.
Hopefully. Other questions? And yes.
I came to this talk hoping to hear about how individual contributors might get more involved in the process. And I don't mean by starting a new project exactly. When I travel, I hear a lot about how difficult it is as somebody coming from a completely different part of the world to.
Somebody, could you speak a little more loud of us?
Okay. I'm interested in knowing how people from outside the existing language project break into OpenOffice, and by break in, I mean quick code back. If they've made changes to accommodate their localizations.
Well, this was about getting into the open office community. So when I came to this talk, I was hoping that something like that would be covered. And maybe it isn't the right
so
talk.
Maybe you should come to my talk.
You've been really talking about code, contributing code, if I get it right. Okay, I'm not the developer. I don't have the developer focus. But I think to join the community and to start contributing code, you should go to the development lists, to the global development list, to the project list where you want to contribute code. If you want to contribute to or fix issues within the wider component, go to word processing. So it should at least be a starting point. And the general rule is that if you have questions about coding, go through the coding projects lists and hope for answers.
You mentioned IRC.
Yeah.
I think
my experience with potential of conflict. IRC, for example, for the QA project, we had several backend parties on IRC, but coordinating these events is quite difficult. And I would like to ask everyone who wants such an event should notify the mailing list.
Yeah.
To say okay, I would like to start. And now I'm in an IRC and would like that other people can join the IRC channel to talk about it. There are the main problem with using IRC is that for events for a project is that the community is around the world and the time zones of are really different and it's just a few. Few persons of a project which is coordinated around the world are capable to join at the same time.
I agree that this is a problem of IRC and that we should go through mailing lists before trying to do such a bug hunting party, but I think it's not necessary to coordinate all and everything before we just do it. Because it was quite funny when I was asking at the QA list to do a bug hunting party here at the conference, I didn't get any answer. But at the same time, I joined the Germanophone IRC channel. I looked to what's going on there, and they were talking about issues. They did exactly what I wanted to do. They asked, hey, could someone have a look at issue number 15 and try to confirm.
Yeah.
Why the heck do we try to coordinate if it just happens?
Yeah.
But that's the thing we have at the Germanophone channel. We have